I greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because He indeed is Lord. He's over it all, and in Him, you who have been grafted into the vine, into the source of life, in Him we live and move and have our being. That's how we, the child of God, the follower of Christ, that's how we live and function in the earth at such a time as this. That's how we go through our existence. That's how we continue to move forward with life flowing through us, poured out as the Spirit of God would will that we would be poured out, not siphoned off like a battery, which is what the world wants to do to you. It wants to stick you in a little compartment somewhere, a little cell somewhere, a little cubicle somewhere, a little box somewhere, and suck the life of God out of you. That's what they want to do. Or a traditional church building, mind you. That's another big fat box with a bunch of big fat, just messed up spiritually people that can't think, can't move, can't function, can't hear the voice of God for themselves. I'm not fat shaming. I'm just saying, I'm saying that, what is that? That's a result of not moving. It's a result of not being active. It's a result of not, of something going, not just things function, not functioning right. You know, and things have to be brought back into balance. Things have to be allowed to move. Things have to be allowed to flow. But instead, the way the world works is the world just says, no, we don't want to talk about that. Let's not talk about that. And so what we do is we gloss over things that can be addressed, things that can be dealt with, things that can be effectively... Listen, if you connect up with God and you walk with Him for yourself, you will know His voice in your time in the earth. And if you don't know His voice for yourself, then you're not going to be functional in your time in the earth. Likewise, there's so many other things in our time and in our existence in the earth that, you know, health, nutrition, your purpose, tapping into what it is that you were supposed to do while you're here on the earth for such a time as this. These are all things that God unlocks. But first things first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what? And all these things shall be added unto you. And what are these things? Your needs, not your greeds, because a lot of times the greeds are another form of bondage. A lot of time the things that people think they want are just another set of things that they have to maintain and another set of luggage you got to lug around with you throughout your time on the earth. You're just carrying extra baggage, extra bondage. Since you are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, what are you supposed to do? Cast off every weight and the sin that so easily besets and run the race that God has for you. So you're in a race, you're running, you're running for your life while you are here. And if you're going to run, why not run well? If you're going to run, why not run light? You know, in one of the many lives that I've had and been blessed to live while I've been here in this time on the earth, and at one point in time... You know, we were setting up an emergency medical service company overseas, and we actually were given the contract to set up for the emergency medical services for the Ironman qualifying triathlon in Sri Lanka at the time. And it was the first time that they had done that competition over there. And, you know, and so they had a bunch of world-class triathletes fly down and compete. They had some over 300 people fly in internationally, and then there was, you know, local competitors and the rest. But one thing about these international guys, and I met a bunch of them during that time, I mean, the equipment that they had was incredible. I mean, these bikes were thousands and thousands, if not in some cases, you know, over $10,000. I mean, some of these bikes, just to reduce a little bit of weight, a little bit of extra strength. These little water bottles they had that would be like on their waist or something would carry like something like 3 ounces, just a little bit of water. You know, they had gotten it down to the point for the professionals, for the ones that were serious. They were in this place of just so streamlining their equipment that they had. So that, because 1 ounce, an extra few ounces, an extra few grams would make the difference between over an extended period, over a longer run, over a longer bike, over a longer swim, just a little bit here, a little bit there, would make all the difference for them between just their times. Just their ability to swim, to run, to bike. And so, I mean, seeing some of the equipment that they had and, you know, how much went into that. So, you know, that kind of thing and that kind of thinking has also, you know, it affects just even when I sometimes read the scriptures and I see stuff like that in the scriptures where it says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us cast off every weight. You know, for the champion triathlete, and I've got friends, you know, to this very day that are top level triathletes, they think a lot about what weights they're going to carry in their competitions. And a big part of even what they do is making sure that whatever weight that they have, as much as possible, is functional, is good for the race, is good for what it is that they're moving forward and doing. And the things that are not, they drop, they shed, they get rid of. And it's amazing how much extra money these guys will spend just for a little bit of an advancement, for to switch over to carbon fiber wheels, to switch over to a different style of bike that maybe takes off a piece of some material on the bike that they don't necessarily need. So, and it's really fine-tuned equipment. But here's the thing, for you and I, brothers and sisters in Christ, why do you carry the weights of the world that they want to shackle you with when you can shed those things? Listen, the power has been given to you. In Acts chapter 2, it talks about that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to Samaria, the outermost parts of the earth. Now that power is, we've talked about this before, that the root word of to be witness is the same word that you get the word martus, the power to, and that's where we get the word martyr, ultimately the power to put to death anything and everything that keeps you from being what God wants you to be. That power has been given to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, to be exactly what God wants you to be. So you've been given that power. So you've also been given the power to just drop the weights. Now here's the thing. There's things that'll come up. There's things that will be there, that will want to latch onto your life, that will want to drag you down, that will want you to carry them. Here's the thing about a weight, okay? If you drop a weight and you leave it, if you come back a year later, that weight will be in exactly the same spot that it was where you left it. Because a weight is dead. A weight has no life in it. A weight is not going to move itself. A weight needs something to move it and take it somewhere in order for it to go anywhere. So the world being dead and the world being more or less dead weight needs you, the child of God, to get it to go anywhere. So unless you co-create the reality of the world, it's not going to go anywhere. That's also why the world works so hard to grab hold of your consciousness, because it needs your consciousness to create its nightmare. So when you remove your consent, when you remove your consciousness from their thing, they can't create because they have no creative power in and of themselves. They have no ability to create in and of themselves. They have no chance, no option to make something without you helping them to make it. If the devil could make the world system without Adam and Eve, he would have done it. But he didn't have that power in him. So what did he need to do? He needed to get them to participate. So he had to go after Eve, he had to go after Adam. Once he got them to buy into it, you see the fall of man and you see what was created out of that. So when Jesus was shown all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor, what he was seeing was that extended manifestation over a human experience from Adam up until that time of all that had been used, and all that energy and all that life force and all of that buy-in by so many souls that had been used to create this seemingly attractive trap to hold and to snare the souls of men and women. And that was what Jesus was shown. And it was a temptation. It was a real temptation. And he was offered the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. All you got to do is bow your knee and worship me. All you've got to do is play ball. All you've got to do is submit to the lordship of the world and the prince of the power of the air. You just got to buy into that. And the thing, and why does the world want you to do that? Because if you do that, now you are now part of that system. So that's why the world will offer you billions, trillions. Because if you will buy into it, now they don't lose a soul that way. Because even if they offer somebody trillions, if that soul goes in, it's not coming out. If that soul buys in, now it's part of it. Now what that soul is going to do is, first of all, it's no longer going to be a threat. Secondly, the energies of that soul are going to be used to co-create the hell that you live in, the hell that this place is, apart from God. Whereas if you shun the world, like Jesus shunned the world system, and he came here to do something. He came here for a reason and a purpose. You, brother, you, sister, you came into this world for a reason and for a purpose. That's why you're here. That's what we're reminding you of. That's what we're nudging you towards. And yes, when we all got here, things were a little bit foggy. Things were a little bit fuzzy. We weren't quite sure what was going on. And then you get here and you, right away, you're getting kicked in the back. You're getting kicked in the side. You're getting, you know, you're just getting pummeled. And you're like, what in the world? I haven't even done anything to anybody. And you're starting to wonder, what is this all that's going on around me? Listen, that attack from the start, because you have been marked by and for God, listen, that's part of it. And you got to know that as soon as you show up into this world, if you have the signature of God on your life, if you've been marked by him, and that is a spiritual thing, that is going to be par for the course. Now, you can either whine and complain about it, which we've all done, every single one of us, me included, or you can brace yourself and realize that God has given you in him every weapon necessary for the warfare that you are in. And it is a war. As much as people would want to have some passive, happy-go-lucky experience here, you are in the middle of a spiritual war. Now, there, even in the middle of warfare, there are bright moments, and there are moments of respites, and there are moments where people take a little break from shooting, but still, you're in the middle of a war, and you're always on a war footing. You're always on an alert. You're always ready and prepared. You're always looking, and you're vigilant. You're staying prepared. And listen, the enemies of your soul, which we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. The enemies of your soul that are spiritual primarily, that then manifest themselves in and through human agents that work in concert with them in the earth. The enemies of your soul, they do not rest. They do not stop. They will drive them on to continue to do all these different things. So you've got to realize that you're in a very serious situation. You were dropped in behind enemy lines. In some of those old war situations where the paratroopers, and they would drop them in behind enemy lines with an objective. So they would go over the top, fly them over in planes in the middle of the night, and drop them off. And what would the enemy do if they saw those parachutes coming down? What would they start doing? Even before they hit the ground, they started shooting at them. Anti-aircraft guns, rifles, machine guns, whatever it was, they start shooting at them. Welcome to your experience. You start coming into the earth. They even saw you on the horizon. Listen, they tried to... they would have killed the children of God in the womb if they get the chance. And they try. They do that. That's what they want to do. They do not want them coming into the earth because it's a threat to their system. Listen, your existence in the earth, if you be one of God's, if you be a child of the light, child of the truth, if you are just existing, causes damage, causes havoc, causes just chaos in their system. And then, if you don't just exist, but if you actually are moving forward in the things of God, if you're actually listening to His voice, if you're actually flowing with Him, you're a loose cannon on the deck of the Titanic, knocking everything all over the place. And their ship is going down. This ship of the world is going down. Now, we have, in Christ Jesus, the exit. In Christ Jesus, you are not bound and tethered to the world. The children of the world, they are bound to the world. There's a ball and chain, a lock on their souls that is taking them down with the world as it sinks and as it goes down. And the only thing that can break that, it's not going to be broken through meditation. It's not going to be broken through human efforts, through individual good deeds or anything like that. And the more that things persist, the more that people realize it. The only thing that breaks that off of the life of anyone is the power of Jesus Christ. There was, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So it was necessary for the forgiveness of sins. It was necessary to be released, and to be released from the shackle of the world and the world system. It was necessary that Jesus Christ did what He did on the cross, and it's necessary that you and I receive that gift of eternal life that comes with and through Him, receive that freedom that comes from Him, bow your knee before the King of Kings, the Lord Most High, the God that is above all, submit to His Lordship and follow Him out. Because what happens with that? You now are in a different kingdom. When the power of God has been brought to bear on your life, just like the children of Israel were liberated from Egypt, what happened there? He brought them out, not by their own good deeds. They couldn't get out of there for 400 years, even if they thought about it or tried. No, God brought them out through His own power, through a strong hand and an outstretched arm. God liberated His children from Egypt. What was Egypt? Egypt was a type of the world. We're going fast through all kinds of principles right now, and all kinds of... So, you may have to go through this again, but listen. Egypt is a type of the world. And God brought His children out of a type of the world and set them free. Set my people free so that they can do what? So that they may worship Me. The true worshipers do what? Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, they worship Me in spirit and in truth. So it's not about singing a song, it's about a state of being. It's about He is the way, the truth, and the life. So you're following Christ Jesus. So you're worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And that is a spiritual direction that is that's just an entire state of being. Body, mind, soul, the whole being is just given over to Him to be whatever it is that He wants you to be. Now, also in that process too, because while we're here and we're in the flesh, there's little things that come up here and there, and the world would want to try to latch things on you to try to get you distracted. But what God's already dealt with all of this stuff. What did Paul say? All things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. So what does that mean? Well, what that means for us is, listen, God's already taken care of it. You just start following Him and let the Holy Spirit show you what He needs to show you along the way. And if he has some course correction for you, He'll show you. And if not, then you just keep going and trust Him. Now, why is it that the church has such a hard time with that? Well, one, because they can't control you. If they can't control you, they can't give you your list of do's and don'ts that you need to do. And in not being able to control you, they can't extract and extort money out of you. See, they need to be able to control you to now get you to have to do what they want you to do. And once they are able to get you to do what they want you to do, now they're able to extract and extort money out of you. And now how are they able to extract and extort money out of you? Well, they need you to go and be part of the world and the world system so you have something to give them. If you don't have something to give them and something that they want and that they need, now they have no use for you. If you, in that religious carnal system, listen, if you are a multimillionaire, they will treat you very different than if you walk in off the street and you don't have much to your name. I've seen it. If you haven't seen it, then you just haven't been paying attention. Why? Because to them, that's what they want. Position, power, access, everything the world offers to them, that's what they want in that system. Because that's how they're going to, what? Quote unquote, grow the kingdom of God. should call it Grow the Kingdom of Gad. G-A-D. Yeah, that's a whole different study. Check that one out in the Old Testament. Okay. No, listen, it ticks me off. It ticks me off because it's nobody wants anybody free in those systems. And people go there because they're hurting. And they go there because they're looking for answers, because the world has kicked them around and they say, oh, wait, well, this is the thing over here that says Jesus. And so maybe I should just go there and maybe I'll find some relief. And what happens? The devil sets up shop right there. Where were the money changers? They were right there in the outer courts in the temple when Jesus came in. Where does the devil set up shop? Right there at the entrance to grab you as soon as you come in. What did Jesus do? He cleared the temple. He got them out. And it ticked them off because he knocked over all those tables of the money changers and those that were selling doves. What were they doing? What were they doing? Well, first of all, they were getting their cut. You needed to have temple money if you were going to be able to go in and make a sacrifice, or if you're going to be able to give something to the, if you're going to be able to give something to the temple, you had to have temple money, and they made money on the exchange. If you're going to buy a dove to make your sacrifice, now you had to buy from them. Do you think they weren't upcharging people? Oh, listen, religion is big business. Big business. And you know what? They need you to believe it. That's why they got to wear the collars and the robes and elevate that platform and get it carved out and looking really nice and put that degree on the wall so you believe this shit. Listen, man does not choose what he will be. God chooses what any man will be. Or woman. If you will serve the living God, what happens is then He wipes the fog from your eyes. The scales fall off your eyes like they did Saul, who became Paul. And He gives you a revelation of who He is. And He shows you who you are in His kingdom. No man chooses. You don't choose what you're going to do and what you're going to be. God reveals and shows, and here's the irony of it, is in the revelation and the understanding of who you are in Christ Jesus, that is where you find your fulfillment, that's where you find your peace, that's where you find your joy, that's where you find your connection, that's where you find everything that you're looking for. A purposeful life is all in that. But if you don't go that way, if you don't follow Him, if you don't submit yourself to the Lord of Lords, if you don't do that, you will never find it. So there's many that never find it. They exist in this life, but they never live. They're here whittling away their time, trying to find an existence that makes them feel good. And what do? Well, they just want to try to compete with the person next to them because they think if they can just exceed that person, then maybe if they can just get to the top of that little molehill, now maybe their life will, they'll be able to see something and maybe their life will amount to something. Listen, it's all empty. It's all dead. The world's got nothing for you. Never did. It's all smoke and mirrors. And if nobody ever told you that, you're welcome. Because today, maybe this is the day then. Somebody had to hear this. So how now do you live? Well, starts off, you it's all in with Jesus. There is no other way. There is no other game in town. There's nothing else that's there that needs, period, Him. Period. That's it. You got to have Jesus. The real thing, not the... Listen, you know what? All right. I give the enemy credit for the hijacking up until now of the narrative by the religious systems of the world and the church systems, all right? I'll give the enemy credit. You know what? He was brilliant in doing that. Because a lot of people see that system and they think it's God. A lot of people see that system and they think it's Jesus, and it's not. What did Jesus say? He said, you need that no man teach you, for my Holy Spirit will teach you when He comes upon you. Where is that? Where is that? Where is that in the practice? No. Oh, no. You know what the curse of the law was? This is something that, you know, I learned in the early days. The curse of the law was that you needed a man to get to God. So in the old school, in the Old Testament times, the way that it worked was you had a high priest. There was a high priest there for the nation of Israel. And that high priest would go in once a year, would offer blood on the altar for his sins and the sins of the people. And this guy was, his job was to go in and do that. And if the children of Israel, if something was off, if he had ticked off God, if the children had ticked off God, whatever it was, he could very well die inside there. So they, even part of his garments, he had bells that were attached to the hem of his garment. And so if, and they would listen for that outside in the holy place, not in the Holy of Holies, because that was where the priest was, but in the holy place, and that veil that was there separating between that, on the other side of it, they would listen, and if they could continue to hear the bells going, they knew, okay, this guy's inside, he's still moving around. If they stopped hearing the bells, it's because the guy, because the high priest had died. And so nobody could go in after him because they would die too. So, and because that place was the Holy of Holies. So they couldn't go in after him. So there would be a rope tied around that person's ankle, around that high priest's ankle. And they would have to pull him out by that rope to the other side because they couldn't go in after him. Now, obviously, this had happened along the way. So, they've had to use that. Now, there was always a separation and a division back in the old days between us and God. And what did Jesus do on the cross? It is finished. So the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. And as he cried out, and that sacrifice was made, and all of it was, the sins of the whole world were absorbed into that body of Christ on the cross, and he took it all. And in that process, when the veil of the temple was rent in two, there was now no more separation between us and God. And Jesus Christ, being the high priest, made that way, made that access so that you and I could come before the very throne of God. And that was done at the cross. And you got to know that was done at the cross. So the curse of the law was that you needed a man to get to God. Jesus Christ did away with that curse on the tree. Jesus Christ did away with it right there. Then there's more that happened from that. You know, he went to the grave. He went all this other stuff that took place. And then the new life, the resurrection that took place. So Jesus then comes forward from the grave because death and hell could not hold him because there was no sin in him. And Jesus Christ came forward. And the new life that we now live, we live in him. And in him we live and move and have our being. So we have, and we live in the resurrection life that happens in Christ Jesus. That's where we live. That's how we function. That's how we move forward in our time in the earth. Now the curse of the law was that you needed a man to get to God. And what is the world and the world religious system done, and that system of the enemy done? Well, they've taken a needle and thread, and they've worked very hard to try to stitch back up that veil and to stand in front of it and say, no, 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 you still need me to get to God. It's what they want to do. They want to keep you away from that truth. But you only, if you will believe the lie, it will affect you. If you move past that lie and you follow Christ Jesus, and this is why the real Jesus is so dangerous to them, because that veil was rent in two in the realm of the Spirit, and no one can seal it back up. What God opens, when God opens a door, no man can close it. When God closes a door, no man can open it. God opened that door in the realm of the Spirit. The veil was rent, and there is no other access point possible. There's no other way to close that. They can't close it. So then what do? They now it's a PR job. Now what the world is working to do is a PR job. Now what they're working to do is to confuse it and just to create so much noise and so much chaos, and so that you don't move forward in that truth, in that resurrection life, in that. But this is why too, we talked about these things. You know, we've been talking about this stuff continually So the wave of light is already, it's going. We're riding that wave. Keep your eyes on Jesus. We've talked about that. We've talked about, you know, be aware, but don't get distracted. We've talked about these things. You got to keep your focus on Him. You got to hear from Him. You got to hear His voice. Listen, there's some, just these words are building. So you've got to go through the other ones to, you know, each thing is building on itself, and God is doing that. For all you guys out there that are new listeners, listen, there's a ton of stuff in the archives. All right, there's tons of series, there's tons of talks, and we've recommended to you guys, while you have the chance, download them, get them, because, you know, the site's been under attack a bunch of times. We've had stuff come up, you know, because the enemy doesn't like this stuff being out there, but God allows us yet another day, another chance to speak. And so we do that. We thank God that we have this platform for a window and for a season and for a time, and we're using it as He would quicken us to do so. But use what's there. It's just there as an assistance, just there as a help. Everything we do on here, we give it away. Freely we receive and freely we give. So it's there for you. But listen, it's just to encourage you in your journey. It's to encourage you in your pursuit. It's to encourage you to keep going in the thing that God wants you to go with. The world wants to close that off to you, but they cannot. No height, no depth, no nothing in this world can separate you from the love of God that is yours in Christ Jesus. You can turn away from it, and that's what they want you to do. They want you to give your free will consent and turn away from the truth. But if you set your heart on things above, if you set your mind on things above, if you do like Mary did, and you put yourself at the feet of Jesus, and you're like, Lord, teach me. I want to know. Lord, show me. I want to go with you. Wherever you go, Lord, I want to follow you. If you are like that, nothing can take that away from you. Nothing in this world can take that away from you. There will be things that come up that try to take you in another direction, but God will quicken you, and He will show you, and you can keep on that track. Okay, now we expand this out to the macro time that we live in, where men's hearts are already beginning to fail them for the things they see coming upon the earth. And as we've already expressed before, these are, you know, it's going to get more, and it's going to escalate. Yes, we understand that. But at the same time, in the midst of the trials and tribulations, the child of God can have peace. In the midst of all that takes place, the child of God can flow. In the midst of all that takes place, the children of God can live in the land of Goshen, even in the middle of a turbulent time, while everything else is being upended around them. You can have light when the rest of the nation is in darkness. You can have peace even while other things are falling apart. Now God can give you that, but you got to flow with Him. And He can resource you, but you got to flow with Him. You've got to trust Him. You need to bring the things before Him. When something is off, you need to pray about it. And whatever your concern is, you need to bring it before Him, but always acknowledge the Lordship of God. And truly surrendering everything unto Him is going to be your place of freedom and peace. And as you hold on to things in this world, or something in the world gets a hook in you, that's going to be, again, a weight. And those weights are going to make it difficult for you to run. So drop the weights. Let God show you what those are. Get rid of them. Just drop them. It's all right. And if you're not sure, then just be not sure. But still keep your eyes on Him. Still keep your focus on Him. Still keep moving forward with Him. And allow that process to unfold as He would have for it to unfold. So a lot of things in the world right now for the child of God, they will be a vexation to your spirit, because you're feeling it. You're feeling it in your spirit. You're feeling it in your soul. You see the things that are there, that are going on. You feel the pain of other people, because the children of God, we're spiritually sensitive. We pick stuff up. But all of that is one thing. None of it is controlling you. None of it is, it's just what you sense and what you feel, but it's not who you are. Understand the difference. A lot of times when the world tries to throw things against your mind and your spirit and your heart, it's coming from outside. And when you recognize that that's not you, that's the world trying to put something on you, once you realize the difference, you're like, all right, that's not me. So therefore, I'm going to go forward. I'm going to go forward in truth. I'm going to go forward in righteousness. I'm going to go forward in the things of God. I'm going to go forward in the reality of who I am and realize that that is not me. That thing the world is trying to throw on me, that is not me. So you are not, any summation of what the world says you are exactly who God made you to be. You're exactly who God wants you to be. You want the revelation of Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what you want. Nothing else. And in that, there's freedom. In that, there's peace. In that, there's your direction. In that, there's everything that you need. Oh, and pray. Brothers and sisters in Christ, pray. Listen, when you pray, you are dropping just colossal H-bombs on the enemy of God. We've been tapping into that. The children of God have been tapping into that. And listen, it is just shaking up everything. Continue to pray. Continue to pray. You know, those of you that pray with us for 20 on 20, you just see, even with that, 20 minutes once a month on the 20th and the ramifications of what that has been. We've been consistent with that. We go back before the Father with that. There are, I mean, a lot of people that come on the live stream and pray with us there. And then on top of that, people download the podcast and they listen and they pray. Just that one thing alone. And that's just 20 minutes once a month. We're supposed to be praying continually. Children of God, just stay in that state of prayer and let God lead you and guide you. You're going to be just decimating the works of the enemy in such a time as this. And God wants you to do that. For this reason, the Son of God was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. That is your part of your reason for existing in the earth. Because we continue on. We continue on with God's purpose here. So with that, we love you guys. God bless you. Hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. You can always say hi there. There's a Facebook page, too, if you're interested. But, you know, we put less and less stock into that stuff. We recommend you you land on the homepage and go from there. So faithmix.com. And, yeah, hey, love you guys. We will catch up with you again sometime soon. God bless you. All right. Bye.